come into your homes to tell you of something that's happening in our country.
Steve-O and Teo in the AM present Shock Therapy Live.
I speak of the greatest offender of all.
Featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Awesome. And now.
Here we go.
Email your questions now to studio at star88.fm.
Good morning. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Teo, and Pastor
Nate
Heitzig.
I'm so happy.
Dude, this is fantastic.
This is, guys, there's a
check it out. This is the best day ever. So not only are we live right now on Star 88, 88.3 FM, but we're also live on Periscope. You can get a direct view of Steve-O's face talking into the microphone. All you got to do is get the Periscope app, and you can follow me at Nate Heitzig.
I don't like this.
And you can watch the madness ensue. And this is the great part.
Yeah.
Not just during the show, but during the breaks, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic, because all the good stuff happens during the breaks, the stuff that people don't know about.
Do you have a blur out function on that?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, yikes. I didn't know it was going to get that crazy in here, Mateo.
It never does, right?
What we need to do
except for that one time.
We'll get like three of these, and then we
Periscopes.
Can like, we can put them all around. We can like, you know, like set them up.
It's great. No, have you guys done Periscope yet?
No.
No, I've never Periscope.
It's fantastic. So it's launched by Twitter, and basically, oh, that's not bad. Okay, there we go. Now, are you still in it?
No.
Wait, no, but this is the thing. Periscope doesn't change the... Stop messing with it. It was perfect seeing your face.
Guys, this is why I'm in radio. If you would like to get your questions in, like, why is Nate making me crazy? You can do so. Studio at star88.fm. That's studio at stop! Star 88.
No, it's fun. This is what's great about it. Okay, social media in this culture is all about responding to people over time, gradually. Yeah. Whereas Periscope is social media instantly. You respond to people as they join. They can actually comment. They can say, hey, you know, what are you doing? What's that? And so it's like it's kind of like a fun way to social media.
No.
Yes.
No, it's obnoxious because now I'm going to have to focus on this thing.
No,
because
you don't.
People talk and stuff, right?
Don't focus on it.
Okay.
Don't focus
it is Shock
on
Therapy
it.
Live, Steve-O, Teo, and Pastor Nate Heitzig. And if you're new to Star 88, if you're new to Nate's Periscope, it is our one-hour therapy session centered around you. Maybe you're dealing with a relationship that just flat sucks. Maybe you need some advice. Maybe you need a way out. Maybe you need to hire us to break up with your boyfriend for you. Whatever it is, we'll do it.
Dude, we'll help you out.
Yes.
This is lovingly been titled the USSR Space Program.
Pew, pew. No, it is not.
We launch monkeys into space.
No one calls it that.
No, everybody does. Okay. Everybody calls it that.
Our boss calls it that.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. You know, I will say this. We are a family-friendly station, and yet I want to make mention that this show is definitely more sensitive subject matter.
Yeah.
We do tackle any and everything. We are unshockable listeners. There's no question off topic.
So if Star 88 is your family,
yes.
Shock Therapy Live is your creepy uncle.
It's Drunkle, man. It's Thanksgiving.
Drunkle?
Yes, Drunkle. It's Thanksgiving.
Nobody told
you're
me.
You're at the dinner table, and you're like, dude, put down that sauce.
Isn't it funny? Everybody has a Drunkle.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I don't what.
Do
what
you guys
is up
have a
that?
Drant? I have a Drant. No lie. I have Drunkles and I have a Drant. And that's a drunken aunt. And that's even better. And I don't just have one. I have a bunch of them.
So just so you know, we definitely tackle sensitive subject matter. So if maybe you've got youngins in the car that you do not want to hear or to have to deal with such serious life issues as sexual activity or whatever it may be, then, hey, that's good. I like
that's a good view. See, look, you got Mateo hiding behind Steve-O's microphone. You got Steve-O and you got me.
Okay.
Is that a better view? People watching on Periscope right now, is that a better view?
So that
or do
no
you
one
want
can see
do you
me.
Want to see Steve-O's face or do you like that
it's
view?
Perfect, just like that.
That's perfect. Okay,
there
perfect.
You go.
There
okay,
we go.
Cool.
All right, good.
Phone lines are open. 505-338.
Beautiful. We got some hearts. We got some hearts for that. They like that.
Yeah. Oh man. Oh,
they hung up. It was
because you took too long in this.
It was the Periscope conversation.
It was the Periscope
conversation. We also can take your email questions.
Yeah.
Studio at star88.fm. That's studio at star88.fm. And we understand that a lot of times there is sensitive subject matter. So if you would like to remain anonymous, that is the best way. We promise to keep you anonymous when you email in.
Yeah. You know, I think it'd be helpful for first-time listeners maybe to explain as well the difference between Shock Therapy Live and Theology Thursday. You know, they might have been hearing these shows that come on, and they're not quite sure what the difference is. It sounds like the same thing. What's the difference between Shock Therapy Live and Theology Thursday?
We're young, and Theology Thursday is old.
Well, you're on Theology Thursday.
Oh,
And so am I, and I'm hundreds of years
that's
old.
That's true, that's true. Theology
so
Thursday.
So I'm young, yeah. And Theology Thursday yeah. is old.
Theology Thursday is more of a thinking man's show, whereas this
oh,
show
great.
Has
so
Nate.
Now we're stupid.
No,
you.
We're not stupid.
Thanks,
this
Steve-O.
This is the feeling man
Theology
show.
Thursday is for smart people, this and Shock Therapy Lives for heathens.
This is really for the heart issues of the heart. We always like to say, put down the Devo and
textbook.
Pick up your diary, you know? Mm. So this isn't,
yeah,
you know,
it's not textbook theology.
What does Acts 2:47, no. But it is actually practical application of what Scripture has to say.
Yeah.
So we still definitely take it back to God's Word. It's not just an I think, I believe, I feel type show. It's still grounded in the Word of God, but it's for more personal issues.
Here's the deal. Shock Therapy Live, we want to know what you're going through. So maybe you're struggling with pornography. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship. Maybe you've got a buddy who's addicted to cocaine and you want to know how to talk to him.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got, you know, whatever it is
maybe
that's going on in your life.
Addict.
Yeah, whatever
you know?
It is that's going on in your life, we want
we're
to talk to you about that.
Absolutely.
And so there's no subject that we won't touch. And that's what I love about Shock Therapy Live. I think that in the church today, there's a lot of subjects that people don't want to touch. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to get too close to it. But we don't have any untouchable subjects here at Shock Therapy Live.
So much so that it was interesting. Recently, here at Calvary Albuquerque, we're doing a series called Jesus Loves People, and we did Jesus Loves Prostitutes. And it's telling of the culture we live in. You were actually on the news, KRQE.
Dude, that was crazy.
Interviewed you because our marquee down at Calvary Knob Hill at the Lobo Theater said, prostitutes welcome, and it freaked people out.
Yeah.
It's sad that that freaked people out. It's sad that that became a news item because we as the church should be a culture where people can come in, where people can.
This is what Nelson said it yesterday in Staff Devos. Were you guys at Staff Devos yesterday?
We were actually here doing a live interview with Audio Adrenaline.
Dude, okay, so Nelson put it perfectly. He said, when Christians love like Christ, the world stops and takes notice.
Yeah.
And here's the reality. It shouldn't be surprising, but it is
when
Christians love.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But it was like, you know, we did this thing at the Lobo Theater, and people were just shocked, and they were so stoked. Hey, stop hanging up on us.
Tell
That's
him,
not
Nate.
Cool.
Look at that periscope and tell him to stop.
Hey, stop hanging up on us.
Stop it.
Stop the hate.
That's right. No, so, you know, we want to talk to you. Give us a call. If you don't hear us talking to you right away, it doesn't mean that we're not connected. It just means that you're on hold.
Yeah.
And the second that you call in, we're going to answer that phone call. You're going to hear our voices. And then once we bring you up, we'll start talking to you. So if you do call in, please don't hang up.
That's right. In the meantime, we got email questions. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Let's go out to the email, studio at star88.fm.
Good morning. I enjoy listening to the discussions on this program and encouragement and appreciate the good encouragement and advice that follows. I am in need of advice when it comes to honoring our calling and life. I made the conscious decision with much prayer and guidance to apply at an art institute, and I got accepted into one of their programs. I guess what's bothering me is finding a legitimate purpose and how this will glorify God and meet the needs of the world. I believe God has gifted me and many others with an artistic expression, but what is amazing is how in the world is this to be used? I could understand someone in apologetics, theology, music, medicine, etc. being ostensibly practical in the kingdom of God, but how am I to honor this calling? I kind of understand life has many imperceptive paths that fluctuate between failure and success, hope and despair, inertia and progress. But really, I guess my question is, how do we continually and genuinely honor our calling in life? How did you guys honor your callings in life?
Nice.
Man, you know, I love this question. It really boils down to a question a lot of people ask me, and that is really understanding and knowing the will of God.
Right.
You know, if we are in the will of God, then that will be honoring and pleasing to God. And so the question becomes, how do I know if what I'm doing is the will of God? How do I know if the career path that I'm in, the relationship that I'm in, what I'm doing is the will of God and honoring to God? And this is something I've said before on Shock Therapy Live, and it's one of my favorite quotes. When I graduated from high school, I had John Corson come to me, and he kind of whispered in my ear. And it's kind of creepy when you're like on a platform with a bunch of people and a dude whispers in your ear. But he turned to me and he whispered in my ear. He's like, hey, do you want to know the will of God for your life? And I was like, yes I do, you know, thinking that there's gonna be some divine revelation that John Corson was gonna like channel secret Holy Spirit powers and tell me that I was gonna become a doctor.
Okay.
But he didn't. Instead, he whispered in my ear, he said, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and then do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I had to pause and think about it for a second because I was like, that seems so counterintuitive. You know, in Christianity, we're so often not told to do what we want. We're told to, you know, follow the Bible, do what God says, follow the Ten Commandments, do what your parents say, do what you're supposed to do, and don't mess up.
Right.
But when I thought about it, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you love God with your entire being, with everything that is in you, if every morning you wake up seeking to love God with who you are, then what you want to do will naturally be what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And so that was revolutionary for me because I realized that the will of God is simply loving God with everything you are, and then everything else will come naturally after that.
Yeah.
But it just comes down to loving God. So I would tell this guy who wrote in that it's not necessarily how can what I do be glorifying to God. It is how can your life be glorifying to God? Because if your life is glorifying to God, if your decisions, if your actions, if the way you live your life is glorifying to God, then what you do, your career feel, will naturally follow suit and be glorifying to God.
Yeah. And we actually got a comment from our boy Paul in Houston, who is a super creative arts dude, you know, film and awesome sauce and great things like that. He says, art touches the soul like nothing else. It's one of the closest disciplines to mirroring our creator. You are God's will for this life. I like that. You are God's will for this life. And the idea, yeah, that very thing. I think a lot of times, because it's funny, and the question even says, I understand, you know, like pastors, theologians, and people like that doing the will of God. I think when you get saved, sometimes it's like, now I got to be a pastor. You went through that. You were going to be a pastor.
Yep.
And somehow ended up making...
I tried being a pastor.
You ended
once.
Up making music.
Hey, you are a pastor.
Oh, crap.
You're still trying it.
It hasn't taken yet.
No, when I remember when I felt like God was calling, I had a calling on my life, I immediately assumed it meant youth minister.
Right.
And then realized, man, I hope not.
Man, I hope not.
And then,
I like that.
Realized that, you know, you can be called to do anything, like you said, you know, you just...
Well, I think especially artists. I think artists have a unique ability to reflect the glory of God. And artists can do this in many different ways. If you're a musical artist, you have a chance to reflect the glory of God through lyrics that magnify his name and bring people closer to him. And I think even as an artist who paints, an artist who draws, you have an opportunity to reflect the glory of God. I've got a beautiful painting by a Christian artist here in Albuquerque named Jan Terry. And it's hanging in my living room. It's a beautiful scene of a river with plants, with trees. And every single time I look at that painting, I see the glory of God. Because I see painting, I see this nature that God created through the eyes of somebody else that has been painted onto a canvas. And every time I see that picture, I see the glory of God emanated through that. And so artists have a unique opportunity to reflect God's glory in a way that no one else can.
Yeah,
and so I think that you can very beautifully worship God through your paintings. Think about our buddy who listens to Star 88. Painter.
Oh, yeah. And has actually in the past donated paintings, and a part of it lives in Santa Fe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Dude, those paintings reflect God's glory in a very, very unique and special way. And so I think artists really have this incredible ability and opportunity to worship God through their art.
Well, I think that, I mean, it's beats to the heart of Star 88. You'll hear a lot of artists on Star 88 that you won't hear on other Christian radio stations. And it's because we want to showcase the creative people out there in the world doing things for the glory of the Lord, because we're created in the image of this God who created everything, the universe. And so, as you know, Paul eloquently put it, that's when we are closest, when we're mirroring God, is when we are being creative, because we as created beings are creating something new, you know. And so I immediately thought of David and the Psalms and the beautiful, I mean, here we are thousands of years later and still they touch us
in
such an extreme way, and they could be songs of praise and songs of just adoration to our God, our Savior, our King. And they can also be like cries of woe, like, Lord, where are you? You know,
That's perfect. So our buddy Mateo just found a beautiful picture that reflects the glory of God.
Yeah, now this is...
Where did that go? It went away. I want Periscope to see that.
All right, so.
Look at that.
What this is.
What is that?
This past weekend, I got to go to Santa Fe.
Oh, yeah.
Is that like a Flowers Last Supper picture?
That's what I want to tell our email person.
That's so strange.
I've pulled up a photo. If you're watching on Periscope, you'll see This is, it's just flowers. It's by an Artemis named, or an Artemis.
Or an Artemis.
It's by
his
an
name
Artemis.
Is Artemis.
It's an Artemis. He's actually a gladiator.
Sorry, his name is Artist, and it's Vladimir
Kush. His name is Artist.
Oh, man. Can I speak anymore? No. He's an artist. His name is Vladimir Kush. Okay, so what he's done here, this is just flowers. And this, what he's famous for is he paints like really abstract nature type scenarios. We got some, you know, what is that? Lighthouses. You got this big fish thing. But here he chose to paint these flowers. And if you look at it, you realize it's the Last Supper.
Dude, right. That's a hippie's dream.
Now, what I want to say, though.
I love that. Are you kidding me?
I don't like going to art galleries. And obviously, Nate, you don't either. You probably don't understand it.
No, I like art. I like actual art is what I like.
What
I don't,
are you,
I don't
that
like,
is gorgeous.
I don't like flowers pretending to be Jesus.
Well, here's what.
I don't like that. I'm not a fan of Jesus flowers.
Before you completely shut down my idea, let me talk.
Yeah.
Because I think you're already doing it. But anyway.
I've already done it.
What this
it's
guy,
done.
What he's done here, this is a very abstract portrayal of the Last Supper. And to our email person, I want to encourage you, because what happens when you go into art, and a lot with music and with art is, and you're already doing it in your question, you're saying, well, I see how this would be a calling because it's theology or medicine. You're already drawing these lines that you have to fit into. I don't know if this guy's a Christian or not, but he totally painted these flowers. And if you look deeper into it, you see that it's the Last Supper.
Right.
And I'm sure that these particular flowers have even more meanings that I don't know about. Like maybe some of these flowers are poisonous. Maybe the one that he used for Judas and the traditional placement of the thing is a poisonous flower. You know,
you know, that's what's cool about art, though. There's different interpretations.
Exactly.
Because I look at that and all I think is somebody who worships Earth.
See, and all I saw was, really?
Yeah, I look
I
at
immediately
that.
Saw the sunflower and thought
I think,
that was
I think,
perfect.
I think of like a tree hugger, like the earth is God, worship
no,
the earth.
No, not at all, dude. So what I'm saying to you, email
art.
Person, don't feel limited, because what Nate just said, art is open for interpretation. So don't limit yourself to what you think you have to paint in order for Christians to understand it, because anybody could walk into this art gallery and look at this painting and then realize later that it's the Last Supper. And what you've done is you've brought glory to God, because you're pointing people to Jesus and what he did for us. So I'm saying,
amen.
Don't put yourself in these lines and these boundaries. This person totally used their gift in a unique way.
It's like Rabbit in a Snowstorm. That's my favorite painting ever.
It is, Kingpin. You love it.
It's a good painting.
Oh, I was like, what are you guys
wake
talking?
Up, Steve-o.
Sorry. Well, I wanted to find it. This particular piece is called Last Supper. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
This painting is an allusion of the Christ history and one of the versions of the Last Supper. They say it is most similar to the classical mural Leonardo da Vinci created in the period of 1495 in the monastery of Italy. According to the artist's idea, the language of the flowers is able to translate the tense of the feelings evoked by the famous words of Christ, "One of you will betray me." So in the painting, there's a metaphor of the entire spectrum of all 12 apostles' characters developing before the eyes in front of the inevitable. The usual interpretation allows the viewer to find Judas among the apostles. He is geometrically and imaginarily opposite to the Christ. So if Christ is open to the sun and the kingdom of light, as you see the sunflower pointing towards the sun, Judas is hiding his face in the hood, representing the kingdom of darkness.
Oh,
so
goodness.
He's kind of hidden over there, cut off.
I'm
right
sick.
Check this out. The cut off grape branch placed on the edge of the table symbolizes Christ's loneliness on the earth as God's son, saying, "I am the true vine and my father is the vine grower." The head of Christ is turned to the sky as if looking up to the Father who sent him to earth to save the human souls, and only Christ knows.
Okay, hey,
what his
I can feel myself
is.
Becoming a vegan. Can we stop having this conversation?
Wow, see, you,
Nate,
are
you look
totally,
so healthy.
You are totally trying to help this guy, and then you are in turn being
Dude,
that other guy.
Flowers do not have emotions.
Oh my
Make
gosh.
Me sick.
Nate, don't be that guy right now.
I am that guy right now.
So listen, everybody, and to our email, this is what I want to tell you. You paint to the best of your ability and paint what you see, because people that get art will totally get it. And they'll interpret it their own way. And people that don't get art will get it in their own way. It's art. It's totally subjective.
Whatever you do, don't try to imagine Bible stories in flowers.
Well, here's the funny thing.
It's equivalent to naked baby angels.
His choice as flowers, it says, isn't random. It was because of it began in the Garden of Eden, right? It began at the beginning of creation.
Will someone please call with a real question?
I'm just
Somebody, please call me.
So he talks about the fact that the history of Christ after his arrival in Jerusalem was presented by the development of the flower symbols, palm branches. We just celebrated Palm Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
Did we have palm branches here? I'm sorry. Did we have palm branches for Palm Sunday?
Okay. We didn't.
Yeah. So anyways, the broken pomegranate symbolizes the crucifixion of Christ and his blood. The grapes are the symbolism of spiritual revitalization, as well as the symbol of Christ's blood. The butterflies are the symbol of the resurrection because they create the halo around the head of Christ, which was the sunflower. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot to be seen in there. But on first interpretation, Nate started hugging trees and became a vegan. Now he's doing hot yoga.
A fear rose in him that said, whoa, I can't accept this. I feel like I'm about to start hugging trees.
But that's what art does.
Yeah.
It makes you hug trees.
No, gosh.
And that's why
you just said,
if you're at your heart, you do this to bring glory to God.
Yeah.
Then you don't need to worry about what you're doing.
Okay. Now, honestly, apart from, you know, arguing semantics about what the painting means, would you have that painting in your house?
I would. Absolutely.
You would?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. I'm not going to lie.
Dude's legit. I feel like... I don't know.
Whatever you 8 minutes, like just before said...
I feel like I'd see it...
just before said, I have this beautiful painting in my house, and it is of a river, and of nature, and trees, and it reminds me of the glory of the Lord.
But I don't like...
the nature
this
of
is
the
thing.
Trees.
I don't like ethereal paintings of that. I feel like that's a painting I'd see on a poster in Spencer's.
But that's why art is subjective.
No.
You know what I mean?
With
art,
like black
art
light.
Art in and of itself is subjective to the person. So if you see it a certain way, I might see it completely different. I might
that's
walk into your house and see the piece of art that you have on there and go, that's a piece of something. I'm just kidding.
And that's what
but
makes...
you love it.
That's
it
what makes
showcases
art good,
the glory of God to you. Yeah, I think
like I'm one of those guys. Who's that one painter dude who paints pictures of like whales and dolphins and all that stuff?
Thomas Kincaid.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude, I cannot stand that those kind of paintings. I can't stand like Thomas Kincaid paintings and all.
That's
and,
amazing. Ugh. But I think again,
there's
that's
certain
why
paintings that people love. That other people don't like.
Going back to what John Corson said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and then do whatever you want, because that's it. We can take it. We can take art into many different genres. We can talk about the different styles of music, where some would say, oh man, I love the hymns. I worship, and this is the style. It's got to be gospel. It's got to be this, or it's got to be that. Oh, you can't use hip hop for the glory of the Lord. And some would say, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? So I think it's all, that's why art is such an incredible thing. So great question.
Subjective.
If you would like to ask a question and totally be shot down by Nate.
Hey, I answered that guy's question and
you
I
did.
Told him that I just
you did a really good job.
I just didn't like the painting of the flowers that portrayed God.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't like.
Yeah.
Well, he made them, so you can take it up with him.
Phone lines are open. We even have a
he's like,
producer
I make,
today.
I make this sunflower in my image.
No.
In the beginning, God created sunflowers in his image.
He did make them to bring glory to him, though.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. 505-338-3700.
Trying to see if we have a Facebook comment.
Yeah, you can also chime in on Facebook. Facebook.com.
Do we have any email questions?
*88FM.
So far, that was our only email.
That was our good question of the day. We had a few phone calls earlier, but sadly, we don't have a producer right now. It's phones. People don't hang out on the line for
they don't hang out
for 3 minutes.
They call. This is what happens. They call and think they're not connected. They're like, hello?
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And they just hear us talking, and then they hang up.
Shout out to, we've gotten a few emails, actually, from people saying, hey, I would love to volunteer. I would love to help out. We are currently in the process of setting up something amazing.
Love it.
Yeah, so people can help out. People can volunteer for Star 88, whether that would be answer phones, just be a part of what
if
we're
doing.
If
you want to do a lot of work and not make any money, we've got a place for you here at Star 88.
Amen.
Nate! What did you eat today? What did you... You just woke up in a hilarious mood.
I don't know.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Star 88, hello.
Yes, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful, thank you. I have a simple question.
Okay,
and I was wondering, you know, I hear people talking about they got a calling from God and everything, and how do I know if God is actually calling me to do something? You know, like, for instance, you know, I play guitar, and how do I know God is actually telling me to get up on stage and be with the praise and worship team? You know, because is it something that I have in my mind and I just keep thinking about it? Or do people actually tell me, hey, when are you going to get up on stage?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
So how do I know?
Yeah.
You know, I think this really again boils down to our last question, is God's will. And I think within the scriptures we see two forms of God's will. We see God's revealed will, God's specific will, and then we see God's general will. Yeah. God's specific will, God's revealed will would be God genuinely speaking to somebody and, you know, telling Jonah, go to Nineveh. That would be God's specific will, God specifically talking to somebody. Then you have God's general will. You have the scriptures, and the scriptures tell us things that God wants each and every person to do generally. You know, what that would be preaching the gospel to people. That would be God's general will. He wants every single person to do that. So within that, we have the gifts of the Spirit. God wants every Christian to be serving the body in some way. That's why he's gifted the body with different gifts, with different abilities to minister to people, and God wants Christians to use those gifts. And so in relation to, let's say, playing guitar on stage, well, I would ask a question. Are you serving anywhere else? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to serve anywhere else? If not, and you have a gift of playing guitar, then I would say that yes, God does want you to serve the body through playing guitar, because that's a gift that God has given you, and it's a gift that God wants you to share with other people to bring glory to his name. So in a very general sense, I would say that God would be calling you to do that. Now from that, when it gets to more specific things like, should I serve here? Should I go to this school? Should I do this thing? I believe you really got to look for open doors, and I think that's one of the primary ways that you see God's will. You say, Lord, is this something you want me to do? If it is, open the doors for me to do that. And then you start looking for the open doors. You start looking for the senses that God is opening the direction for you to go into that area. And then you follow God's will in leading you into that area.
Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Because, you know, I've been praying about it, and I want to do it, but I didn't know if it was just me making myself believe that God is telling me to get up there and be in the praise and worship team. So I didn't know for sure. That's why I thought I'd give you a call.
There you go, man.
Dude, definitely. I would say, you know, and this is one thing I like to tell people too. Take a step of faith and see how it goes. You know, if you feel like God's calling you to serve in that ministry, take a step of faith and try it. And if it doesn't work out, no harm, no foul. You know, I think that's one of the ways that God calls us to work, is to step out in faith. Yeah. And sometimes you might take a couple wrong steps before you take the right step. But I think it's better, you know, Peter, had faith and he walked out on that water and, you know, it didn't work out for him, but at least he took the step of faith. So I would say, you know, take that step of faith and, you know, see how God works and how God moves.
Go, man.
Very good. Okay, super. Then that step is going to be taken then. Thank you very much.
Right, awesome, man. God bless.
Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Two phone calls this morning, or two questions on God's will for your life.
And you know, it's
three phone calls.
True. Yeah. And they one hung answer. Up because they're not watching us on the Periscope thing. Something about that, though, that's important to remember. I mean, when we used to tour and we'd play in churches and stuff, we used to always make Dave talk to people that would have questions similar to that because we didn't want to talk to them about it. But you'd inevitably have the guy or the girl that would be like, hey, I just really feel like, you know, God's calling me to do this in a real way. And you know, my family, we're ready for it. And I just know that if I could, like, get signed and get a record deal, then I could support my family. And I know God's calling me to do. And I remember one time Dave just he got fed up and he just shut this guy down. Because he was like, look, man, God's already given you a family. Being a successful touring music artist is a gamble. And so you got to be faithful where you're at. You don't need to go out and try to make this happen and hope that you're going to make $1 billion being a thing. So if you're out there and you're struggling with a sense of calling, and especially if it involves being like in a band or whatever, I would say take that step of faith. But then also don't be angry if it doesn't work out, because this is a really – You can get disillusioned easily when you really feel like God's calling you to do something and then you go for it and it fails.
Right.
You can get really, really disillusioned and you're like, no, I know he told me to do that. All these people that are telling me no are wrong. They're not listening to God and blah. And then you start getting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and then that can lead to all kinds of weird extremist whatever.
And we've sadly seen that in people's lives around us, people who just felt like, no, this is it, period, the end, and I'm going to do this. That's why I liked what you said, the idea that, you know, go for it. And if that door's open, right on. And if that door closes, then no bigs. You know, you're still going to keep playing guitar, keep doing what you do.
And you're still going to do
just
that.
Maybe
and
not
you know,
that
I think what happens is a lot of us live in fear. Fear of what's going to happen if we take that step of faith and it doesn't work out. Yeah. And so I think we can't be scared of taking that step of faith, because if we live in that fear, then we're never going to do anything for God. Part of doing something great for God is taking a step of faith, believing that he's going to show up because he said he would, and trusting that, look, if that's not where God's called you, God's going to open up another door, something bigger, something better, something greater. And you just got to be ready and willing to take that step of faith. But don't live life in fear of what if this isn't God's will. Just start taking a step of faith. You know, I think, again, Peter is the best view of that, of just taking a step of faith and saying, look, I believe God's going to show up because he said he would.
There you go. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. And if you'd like to join us in a creepy way, you can join him on his Periscope app.
Unless you're Android. Somebody just emailed us and said, what's the app for Android? And I remember Doug told us, they don't have one yet.
Oh, Periscope is not on Android yet, but we are on the iOS.
Yeah.
So if you're on iOS, I think you can actually also watch online.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. If you're on your computer, I think you can watch online.
Now, it's not linked to Brandy, our on-air whatever, so you can't
Brandy
hear the phone
C
call.
Says hi.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. What's up?
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
So weird.
No, this is so cool. This is fantastic. It's like ESPN
weird.
Does this all the time. They call it their second screen experience, where one of the ESPN broadcasters has Periscope, and they say, hey, get a behind-the-scenes look at what's going on. Yeah. Kayla Rick says, Steve-O's hair is on point today.
Dude, thank you. I showered. So
good
that's
job,
good.
Buddy. That's
all
good.
Right.
That's not a norm, but it's good.
It's not. So, you know, when you got kids and you just don't care because you wake up at 4 a.m., sometimes showering becomes a blessing, you know, not necessarily the necessity of every day. So,
Showering is a privilege, a right.
You know, true. So there you go. 505-338-3700, or apparently on Periscope, you can chime in there as well, because Nate's got the phone set up to creepily stare at Teo and I. So that's good.
Nobody's staring at me.
You can also ask a question on Facebook, facebook.com/star88FM. Or you can also chime in through email, studio@star88.fm. That's studio@star88.fm. Now, Nate, we were talking a little bit about you getting to be on television for what should be a norm in the church. But let's talk a little bit about the Jesus Loves People series going on right now, because
definitely,
for as much as we talk Shock Therapy Live and sensitive and crazy, this entire series has kind of shaken some things up for people. So,
dude, it has. And you know, it's been crazy. I got a call saying, hey, would you be willing to do an interview with Channel 13 News about Jesus Loves People? And I was like, definitely, I'd love to. And so we went down to the Lobo Theater, and really what it was is we put up this sign at the Lobo Theater that said prostitutes welcome, and it was part of our series Jesus Loves People. It was for one of our messages, Jesus Loves Prostitutes. And it really took people off guard. People were stopping, taking pictures of it. People, you know, were writing letters, having questions about it. And it really opened up this door. And so Channel 13 asked us, hey, what does that mean? What's that all about?
Yeah.
And it really opened the door. I was able to tell them that the most basic message in the Bible is that Jesus Christ loves people. He loves all people. He loves broken people. He loves hurting people. Mm-hmm. He loves prostitutes. He loves homosexuals. He loves atheists. And he loves you.
Yeah.
John 3:16 explains it, says that for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it's so sad that in our day and age, Christians are known more for hate than for love.
Yeah.
We're known more for our rejection of certain people than for our respect of all people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in our day and age, you've got Christian groups like Westboro Baptist who claim to be Christian that say that God hates fags.
Yeah.
You have Christians taking to Twitter when a terrorist is killed saying, I hope that he's burning in hell with other Muslims. You have all these terrible things that are happening in our day and age that do not reflect love, when the thing that should reflect the church more than anything is love. And so we're not doing a very good job at that. And so we did this series to try and really awaken people to realize that Jesus loves people. And if Jesus loves people, then so should we.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. It is Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. Maybe you're new to Star 88 and this is a new program to you. Nothing is off limits. In fact, you can go back to our archives at star88.fm/shocktherapylive. And it's been amazing over the last couple years that we've done this to see what God has done through the ministry of this hour. Mm-hmm. Just being real with people. And guess what? Being real, being honest, being open to talk to people should be a very basic thing as well. As we talk about this, it's kind of dumbfounding when we started the show how crazy it was within the realm of the church for people to go, wait, I love what you guys are doing, but this show, it's a little too much. You know, you guys talk about real life stuff. And so we are here for you. Nothing is off limits. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
And this is the truth. A relationship with Christ should be real. There's no subjects that Jesus is like, well, you know, that's a little too intense, so I don't know if I can forgive you of that. You know, that's a little bit, it's out of my realm. I didn't die on the cross for that one.
Steven?
No, you know, the reality is that Jesus Christ wants to speak into everybody's lives. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've done that you think, man, I've gone too far. God can't deal with this. Jesus Christ wants to speak into everyone's life. He loves you. He loves you where you're at, and he wants to help you with what's going on in your life. And we want to be here for you.
Yeah, 505-338-3700. Let's go back to the phones. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Doing good.
All right.
Hey, so, you know, this is, I want to just present that. First off, I just want prayer and confidence builder. I've been a believer for many years. I just have a lot of fear, and I have a lack of confidence. Kind of a background, I'm changing careers, and everything's new, and you know, I'm just fearing failure. And so, you know, I just want something to tell me that, you know, I can do it. I know I can do it. And I know I can do it all in through Christ, and I guess I just need, how do I build up my own confidence?
I was going to say, Christ? Man, first and foremost, you know, you talk about having this fear of changing careers, and you keep stating over and over that you know you can do it, but I would almost question that. I mean, because it seems like that's what you need is that refresher, that reminder that you truly can. You know, you I think we at times when we're struggling in our faith or when we're at a crossroads when we don't know what to do, it's easy for us to spit scripture and say, I mean, I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then we move on to the next thing. It's like, wait, stop. Do you understand how powerful that is? God says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That is a powerful statement. And I think because, you know, for those of us who have, as you mentioned, been a believer for many years, they become these just, you know, little kind of proverbs of life. And here's my go-to scripture. No, I can do all things through Christ. Yeah. But I need some encouragement. And I'm like, dude,
exactly.
If God's word can't encourage you, there is nothing I can say.
Yeah.
You know, so.
and you know, fear really is crippling. Yeah. Fear cripples us. And I think Satan really likes to use fear in our lives. But I think at the same time, there are times when fear can be good. Hmm. Fear can be from the Lord. We can have a fear from the Lord of, man, am I making the right decision? And so anytime I make a decision, I always like to ask myself, what motives am I making the decision for?
Yeah.
Am I trying to change a career because I'm not being able to provide for my family? Okay, that's a good motive, and that would be a motive that I'd say, you know what, I got to make a different decision. Am I making a change in my career simply because maybe I don't like my boss, or maybe I don't like my job, but my career is providing for my family? I've got kids, I've got a wife, I need to put food on the table. You know, I think it's important to ask those kind of questions when you make a decision like that, because sometimes you might be able to say, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to make this decision, you know, because I believe God's calling me to this different career, when really he's not. Really, you're just feeling, you know, tired or bored in your career, which is a really big problem in our day and age in our culture. And then we end up putting ourselves into a place where we can't provide for our family, where we can't put food on the table. And so I think it's really important to question the motives for why you're making a certain decision. And as you question those motives, as you search those motives, you can really see whether it's from God or whether it's from selfish desire for which you're making the decision.
Yes, well, selfish. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, the background is, you know, I have, you know, been self-employed for, you know, 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And it's slowly declining and not having insurance and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's that was where, you know, the decision had come and went back to school for a career that is, you know, within the, you know, first responder.
That's awesome.
You know, so, you know, being a servant, you know, I know that, you know, I like to help people. And so that was the direction that the Lord had led me. And so it's completely different than being self-employed to learning the functions of the body and how it's designed and how it works.
Dude, you know, that's awesome. You know, I think, again, as I look at those motives, I think that's the right motives. Because you were in a place, probably a self-employed career, something you really loved to do, something you enjoyed to do if you were self-employed, something you really wanted to do. But it wasn't providing. It wasn't, you know, bringing in the funds you needed to do. It wasn't providing the insurance that you needed to sustain. And so that's a good motive to say, you know what, as much as I love this job, and a lot of people will pursue their dream until everyone around them, you know, is broken and destroyed. But I think it's very noble to say, even though I have this dream, it's not providing. And rather than sacrifice the people I love for the dream that I have, I'll sacrifice the dream that I have in order to have a stable job. And I think that's very noble, and it's hard for a lot of people to do that. Say, you know what? I'm going to get a job, go to school for something I know will provide instead of for something that I know I love. And so I think that's a very noble desire, a noble cause. And I think that that's I think that that really reveals your heart, that it's not out of selfish ambition, but it's out of a desire to genuinely provide.
What's amazing is it absolutely parallels what's going on with your faith right now, because you talk about the fact that for the last 10 years you've been self-employed, you've been doing it all on your own. Now you're going into a career and you're dependent upon others. And in the same sentence, you're talking about how you're needing to step out in faith and become dependent upon God. And you know, you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But really, that's it. You've been independent for the last 10 years in your job. Doing it all on your own, your way, and now you're going to be going under the rule, if you will, of a boss, of a job, of a career, and there's going to be other people instructing you, guiding you. And it's amazing how we as human beings, I mean, that's it. That comes back to the basics of our faith. Do we trust God to be God? You know,
totally.
So man, it sounds like you're doing some amazing things, providing for your family, this servant heart. Your attitude is fantastic, so I would just give the thumbs up, man. I say
go for it, and I say really trust. You know, again, I think God really wants to take that step out in faith. And again, our first ministry, you know, we never asked you, are you married? Do you have kids?
Married and kids.
Awesome. You know,
makes it harder, you know, because you know, it's all on me. You know, to provide it. So it's the fear of failure, and I'm trying not to have that fear. Because I trust in God. But I'm also trying to build up my confidence, knowing that I can do this. You know.
So you said you're getting trained to be a first responder. I would assume that's either a fireman or a paramedic, correct?
I'm already. He's already opened doors for me to go into fire.
Okay.
But just advancing that.
Okay.
And you know, relearning things that, you know, going further into the medic program. And,
I think
getting harder.
I think you're making a really wise decision, number one, because there's always a need for firemen. There's always a need for paramedics. It's a very good job. It's a safe job, especially, you know, for providing for your family. And it's something that, again, I think that it's something that you can find a sense of ministry and administering to people in a very real way, helping them in their time of need.
Exactly.
And so I think it's a really great field to go into. My brother-in-law is a fireman paramedic, and I think it's a really, really needed career path. And again, I think you're doing something that's great. You know, you're married, you have kids. Your first ministry above anything else is to care for your family and for your kids. And I think you've come to a place where you recognize that being self-employed, what you're doing isn't doing what you need it to do. And so you're being a man, you're stepping up and saying, okay, what can I do to still help people, to still care for people, but also care for my first ministry, which is my family. And I think you're doing that, and I think you should be proud of yourself, and you should go into that, you know, head first and pursue it, and, you know, put all your energy into it to making it work.
Man, I know, you know, we talk about being in the faith for so many years and leaning on the Word of God, and there's a very basic proverb that I always go back to when it comes to life, and that is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. If you do these things, you know, so it's like, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you don't lean on your own mind, on your own understanding, understanding, if you acknowledge him with everything you're doing, and it sounds like you're doing all of those things, he will make your, that is a promise from God that he will make your path straight. It sounds like he's already opened some amazing doors for you. It sounds like you just got to get over that mental issue, that mental block.
Amen.
And man, we serve this incredible God who, his spirit dwells within you. And I'm reminded that we're not given to a spirit of fear, but the spirit of God that dwells within us, we are given to power, love, a sound mind. And I want to like smack you and go, come on, man, you can do this, because it sounds like you're doing absolutely everything correctly.
Amen. The funny thing is I have a friend that's going through almost exactly what you're going through. He recently like got out of the self-business thing, and he's going back to school and pursuing a job in the medical field. But the thing is, and practically, I think you keep taking small steps tenaciously, and you will build momentum. And once that momentum continues, it sounds like it's already happening, but then you just go with that. But then honestly, too, because I think your major fear is that you are the sole provider. Mm. That's not true. Because God is your provider.
Amen.
He provides for you so that you can provide for others. So you trust him to provide for you, and he will. I can tell you from 15 years of experience of living off barely anything, but then constantly being provided for when I was in a band, he will provide for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to trust that. And that's a big deal. That's because you're used to pretty much governing yourself.
Yeah.
It's good.
You know?
Right. Man, thank you so much.
Thanks
for
calling, man.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll be praying for you. God bless.
Thank you. All right, same. Thank you.
All right. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. Dude, I love this show. That's what it's all about
right
there.
It's a good time.
If you miss any part of the show, we do download the podcast upload the podcast. You can download it absolutely free at our website, star88.fm. Maybe something you're hearing sparks something in you, or maybe you just needed that encouragement, or maybe this is an area where you've gone through this and you'd love to offer that encouragement. We'd love to hear from you in that regard as well.
Yeah.
505-338-3700. We always love hearing testimonies.
Definitely.
People being like, hey, 5 years ago, that was my life, man. I was there, and here's what God did in my life to bring me to the place where I'm at now. So,
if you're listening now and you want to get a little peek into the studio, we're live on Periscope right now.
That's right.
Hey, if you're watching on Periscope, how you guys doing?
Do you guys
enjoying yourself?
Do you have stock in this, or like
I don't know.
And Mitch?
Michelle's, I don't have stock.
Michelle, our midday host, she's the first person that showed me Periscope and was like, "No, you don't understand. This, you've got to jump on this. This is going to be the next big thing."
No, it really is. Like, it's a lot of fun. This
it's
is
everywhere.
You know, everyone's on Snapchat right now, but what I don't like about Snapchat.
I skip Snapchat.
Snapchat, you know, it's not live. You get someone's video sent to you, but what's cool about Periscope is you can tune into people live, what's going on right now. You can talk to them.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Brandy says, so much Steve-O and Matt on such a small screen.
Dude, that's beautiful. Okay.
There's nothing bad about that. There is only beauty to that. No, it's
phone
great.
Phone lines are jammed up.
Periscope is fun.
Yeah.
You need to get on Periscope.
Periscope
is fun.
If you guys
Periscope like when you do live remotes and stuff, that'd be so much fun.
We're going to be here broadcasting live on Calvary Campus for Gospel Brunch from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. this Sunday.
Dude, you got to Periscope that crap.
You got to get a chandelier. Okay.
we've got two phone calls.
Yes, we do.
Answer the phone.
Let's go out to the phone line.
Brandy says it's borderline creeper.
Okay. It is. It is. And you're the one watching. Also, shout out to Pastor Levi Lesko at Skull Church. I know he's watching as well.
Is he?
Yeah. Hey,
no,
buddy.
He's not.
Yeah,
is he?
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. I got people who are watching.
If he's
watching on,
he might be watching on a web, but he's not watching on his phone.
He's not watching me.
Let's go out to line one, Shock Therapy Live. Hello.
Hello.
Hola.
Hey, so I was just listening into kind of the conversation this morning, and I wanted to encourage kind of share a little bit of my story about, you know, all the whole job thing and your life situation. You know, recently me and my husband went through kind of a huge transition in our lives where we completely just said, God, we will do whatever you want us to do. And kind of along with that, I mean, I'm a nurse. I've always worked in the hospital. I've loved my job. I love that hands-on, you know, being able to help people. And but about a year ago, we moved to a lower-income neighborhood because we really felt like that's what God wanted us to be. It was completely different. Everyone thought we were crazy because they're like, man, you guys have it made. You have the American dream. You have all this and that. But we knew that God wanted us, you know, if we're going to serve people, we have to live with the people. We have to be in a community with those people.
Mm.
And so to really, you know, show Christ's love to them and to really get to know them, we're like, hey, well, where do you want us to move? And, of course, it was the one place we didn't want to move. And But, you know, long story short, you know, God has done so many amazing things through that. And even, you know, with the job, I, you know, I really felt like that it took up a lot of my time, what I did. I loved it, but it was too much time. And so God provided another job where, you know, I could still do nurse stuff, but it's from home. It's not quite as exciting as, you know, working in the hospital, you know, saving people's lives, quote unquote. But it's something that, you know, taking that step and being like, God, you know what? I will do what you want. Like, I guess allowing, even though I couldn't see the end result, you know, even I still can't see completely the end result. It has completely, like, transformed our lives, opened so many doors that we were never open to us before, to be able to, you know, be with people, to be at home, to be just there in a community with people that, you know, we couldn't have done before. So I just wanted to encourage people kind of going through those, you know, transitions of life and really just go back to what you guys have been saying, you know, really just love God with everything that you have. And, you know, when you do that, God will, he will lead you in the way you're supposed to go. Totally. It sounds so crazy and like, no, there's no way. But like, if you had asked me maybe 2 years ago, if I would be right here where I live, what I'm doing, I would have told you no way, never.
That's awesome. So, you know, I think it really reveals too, sometimes the scariest decision of your life can be the best decision of your life. And God can use those really scary moments to be incredible moments where God really transforms and God uses you. You know, I think through David, man, I feel like David was really a guy of faith. And I imagine going up against Goliath, as much faith as he had, it had to have been a scary moment for him. But that scary moment ended up being one of the greatest moments in his life. And it really launched him into becoming one of the best kings that Israel ever had by taking that scary step of faith to go up against a giant with a slingshot.
Right. So, hey, if you're going through something and you just aren't sure about it, just cut the head off of a giant. I mean, no bigs.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Thanks for the call. We got like 2 minutes left to show. This thing is freaking me out.
Dude, it's fantastic.
I'm glad you love it.
Who's calling?
Line two, let's go out there. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, it's Nick. What's up, Steve and Matt?
Hey, man.
And Nate, hey. What about me? Am I just chopped liver? Am I not here?
Nate, I have never met you, but hello to you, sir.
Well, I've never met you either, but you called me.
Amazing. Amazing.
Well, I just wanted to talk about that guy's situation. I'm the guy that Matt was talking about who is his friend who is self-employed. Yep. It's a scary thing to leave, but you got to think of it this way. Failure is not necessarily failure. Mm. It's change, and it's opportunity.
Amen.
And I have a family as well that I have to provide for. Once you start taking, you know, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and he'll direct your steps. Once you start taking steps through those open doors, it starts to feel better. You know what I mean? Like, once you start building that positive momentum and stuff starts to work out, you can find the Lord in any situation. I just want to encourage him to keep going. And as far as the will of God goes, now this is my opinion, but I'm not one of those kind of frou-frou, oh, I had a feeling that the Lord was leading me this way, and so I did it, and this and that. Because that will just drive you nuts. Like, through my experience, it will drive you insane. But just like John Corson, who is one of my favorite teachers, said, you know, do whatever you want. If you're loving the Lord, do what you want. It's not really about you finding exactly where God wants you. It's more about him getting you there.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Because he's God. He can do it.
That's
and
good.
So I just want to encourage you, man. And I'm in the same situation. I'm actually training to be an EMT firefighter paramedic. Mm-hmm. And so it's awesome. He's going to be fine. Just work as hard as you can in anything that you do for the glory of God, and he'll work it out. So
amen.
I just want to encourage him.
Amen. And you know, I think even within that, if we work as hard as we can in whatever field God has called us to, then not only is it going to be okay, but I believe that Christians, if we follow what God has told us to, we follow the Bible, we work as unto the Lord, then not only will we be okay, but we'll be the best in our field. Mm. And I think, you know, Christians have the opportunity to be the best in their field because what they do unto the Lord. What they do, they do with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we need more Christians in the secular world, in their places of employment, working unto the Lord. And we're going to see those Christians rise to be the best in their field, the top of their class, as they do what they do as unto the Lord. And so I think that that's, you know, God will not only help you survive, but he'll help you thrive if you do what you do unto the Lord.
Totally, man.
And I agree. And eventually, he's going to be probably painting the best flower painting ever.
Dude.
I mean, it's going to blow that other flower painting
man.
Out of the water, to the Lord. You know what I mean?
Oh, so good.
Love you, Nick.
I can't.
Love you, bud.
Dude, I can't. I can't wait to see what the flower painting of cutting Goliath's head off looks like.
We got
to
end the show with the Rocky theme because we're all like jazz and everybody's been calling and their success in the Lord stories.
Dude, you know what I realize is kind of a bummer about Periscope is that people who are watching can't hear the phone calls.
Yeah. I'll just
so during
everything.
The whole phone call,
I'll
they just
do,
no, literally,
does anybody know how to sign?
During the phone call, all they hear is silence and just your faces staring at the microphone.
I'm doing this. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good. And every now and then they hear an amen.
Yeah.
That's
amen.
Good.
Mm.
Unless they're listening as well to the radio or to the webcast.
That would be your best experience.
There you go.
If you could listen and
that's
watch
good.
It.
There you go. Or, you know, just download the podcast. Now you get, it's like the prequel. You go back and you get to see what you missed. We just Tarantino'd this episode.
You'll get all the comments.
Shock Therapy Live. Yeah. Now you got to go back and see what you missed.
Dude, oh, good
amazing.
Times.
Star88.fm/shocktherapylive. That's where you find the podcast. Woo! We did it! We made it through. Until tomorrow. Tomorrow we got a great show. I'm excited. It is Third World Thursday. We are going to be obviously focusing heavily on Kathmandu. What is going on in Nepal? How you can get involved. We're going to be talking to some local Albuquerque people.
Yeah.
And really, really excited about that. Join us.
Dude,
up next, Middays with Mitch.
Good show. The Will of God.
The Will of God. There you go. We'll see you guys again mañana. It's Steve-O and Teo in the AM.
Goodbye.
And Christians are...